want a baby. Oh, oh.
Honey, oh my god. Guys, that felt kind of nice. Hi, honey, you guys know the fucking drill. Honey is Call Her Daddy's presenting sponsor, okay? You download Honey onto your browser, on your computer. You go to checkout, whether you're online shopping for clothes, a dildo, new sneakers. It literally doesn't matter. Whatever you're shopping for, you go to your checkout cart, you press checkout. Honey is going to drop down once you've downloaded it and will say, hey, do you want to apply coupon codes throughout the internet? And you say yes. And then you watch as it literally takes your price from like $100 to $70. So if you guys do not have Honey downloaded yet, you're literally passing up free money because it's free. All you have to do is download it. It takes a couple seconds and then it's downloaded. And then every time you go to check out, you're literally saving free money. You're fucking welcome. You're also supporting the motherfucking show when you download Honey. Thank you, baby. Okay, guys, to get Honey for free, you're going to go to joinhoney.com/daddy. That is joinhoney.com/daddy.
Do you call him daddy?
Do I call her daddy?
Call her daddy.
Oh my fucking god, what the fuck is up, daddy gang? It is your founding father back at it again for another episode of Call Her Motherfucking Daddy. Hi, hello, what the fuck is up? It's been a minute. Door number three came all over my $12,000 couch. What? Daddy gang, you're like, I'm sorry, Alex, I'm just trying to get my bearings here. And you said, what? Listen, I'm saying $12,000 because it really does have to, like, it adds to the story. It's not a flex. Listen to what happened to my life. I quickly mentioned it on a vlog and people were like, huh? So I just need to, like, get it out there. I can't even talk about anything else in the episode, but I just want to tell you this because I genuinely think this symbolizes how my life is going. Okay, so I like to be sedentary. I like to be horizontal. I like to lay down. It's my favorite pastime. It's what I like to do all day, every day. So my entire life, I have wanted a restoration hardware cloud couch, okay? I get my new contract and I'm like, I literally make a little fund for this restoration hardware couch. A Chanel bag, a fucking Celine, a Birkin, no, a fucking cloud couch, okay? So this is my life dream. Finally, I purchase the restoration hardware cloud couch. In total, it's $12,000. That is disgusting. That is so ridiculous, but it's what I wanted to spend my fucking money on, okay? I know this is first world problems, but this is my fucking podcast and this is what's happening right now. So listen, so I buy the couch and the first person to christen my apartment is door number three with me. Okay. He comes over. As you guys know, door number three has been someone in my life for a very long time that is like my ride or die. I hate that fucking saying. Let's take that back. Rewind. He's like been my day one go-to. First guy was like truly like, wow, I really am in love with this person. Great. Okay. But we're not together because we can't be together. What is a relationship here on Call Her Daddy? We're going to get into that later. But so he comes over, he comes to New York and he comes to my apartment for the first time. I have had my restoration hardware couch. Okay. I have had this couch for 2 days. I haven't even really sat on it because I want it to stay pluff and fluff, and pluff isn't a word, pluff and fluff. Okay. I want it to stay looking amazing for when he comes. I'm like, oh my God, first man in my apartment. This is going to be epic. Door number three comes over. Door number three sits down on the couch with me. Door number three and I play a movie. Door number three and I start to fuck. Obviously, tensions are high. He starts making out with me. He goes down my pants. The whole thing is getting hot and heavy. And it's in the moment. So it's hot and it's amazing and it's steamy. And we start fucking and we're fucking. And all of a sudden, his penis is about to come everywhere. And I'm like, yeah, baby, come, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Okay, he pulls out and starts coming on my stomach. But it's kind of one of those where it like drizzles up to the belly button, then it's down and he's kind of like putting a little bit in the pussy region, whatever. All of a sudden, I'm kind of like knocked the fuck out of like my fun. Like, oh my God, door number three is back and we're fucking. And I realize we are on my $12,000 fucking couch and there is cum all over my fucking restoration hardware couch. Okay? in this moment, I go from being in a euphoric, amazing, oh, I just got my brains fucked state to holy fucking shit. I shove door number three off. I start bawling my eyes out. He's like, what is going on? Like, imagine him being like, we're having a great moment. Oh, like passionate, hot, amazing sex. And I'm like, get the fuck off me. He's like, oh shit. I am like, get a fucking towel. I look down. Semen is seeping into my performance velvet couch. Okay. So I'm crying. I don't know how to get up too, because the semen is just coming off of my stomach, rolling off my pussy onto the couch more and more. So I quickly flip onto my fucking stomach onto the carpet. So now there's semen also on my fucking carpet. And he comes over and I'm like, how do you clean semen off a couch? I don't know. So I'm like, hold on. Don't rub it. Don't do fucking anything. The one person in my life that I want to call is my mother. Now, the woman is a woman of many, many, many fucking talents. But Lori Cooper, she knows how to get everything. A stain is her bitch. However, my mother was so excited for me to get this couch. I knew it would break her heart if I fucking called her. And I was like, hey, mom, door number three just splooged everywhere. Granted, he is her favorite, but I'm like, it doesn't match up. I can't break my mother's heart. She hasn't even seen the couch in person. And if she knows that there's semen all over this couch, we will not recover from this. Our relationship will be strained for at least a year. So I Google how to get semen out of couch, how to get semen out of velvet, how to get semen out of Restoration Hardware Performance Velvet Couch. We get nothing. So I start dabbing it with a towel, dabbing. I'm having a panic attack. Poor door number three. Actually, no, fuck him. I was going to say poor door number three, like, he didn't even fully get to finish coming. Like, he was like mid, like jacking off, finish coming on my stomach when I shoved him off. So imagine as a man, like, you're having that, like, oh, you're not even hitting the post nut yet. You're in your, like, literally blackout. I am coming. Nothing is greater in this moment. And then you have my bitch ass screaming, crying in your face before you even get your full nut out of your dick. So he like had run to the bathroom and like literally cum is seeping out of his wiener hole. The whole situation was very, it was very hard on our relationship. I felt uncomfortable. I felt upset. He offered to pay for an extra cushion for me. I mean, what a fucking G. And gentleman, I mean, not a gangster. Gentleman. What a gentleman. I said no. And eventually I kept blotting. I ended up flipping over the couch cushion. And when my mother came, I was like, Mom, look at the couch. Now listen, it still pains me to this day because the semen is there, but it also is kind of like a symbolic reminder, like door number three will always be with me, even on my fucking $12,000 couch. Welcome to Call Her Daddy this week, motherfucker. So that's kind of like symbolizes how my life is going right now. How are you guys doing? You're like, you know what, Alex, we were doing fine until you quickly just blacked out and told us that some man fucking came on a couch. And what is a performance velvet? Well, clearly the performance in the fucking velvet isn't so performative because my fucking couch is fucked. Anyways, Daddy Gang, welcome back to the fucking show. Okay. Let's all take a deep breath. The couch, the cum, you, me, back at it again. How am I feeling today? I'm feeling good. I'm feeling all right. I wouldn't say I'm at my best. You know when you go on vacation and you come back and people are like, they're like, do you feel so refreshed? And you're like, no, I actually need another fucking vacation from my motherfucking vacation. That's kind of how I feel. But it actually was like a very smooth sailing situation. And I couldn't be happier. I feel very zen right now. So I'm trying to get back into the toxicity. The toxicity that is my show called Her Motherfucking Daddy. We've had 2 weeks off. And at this point, I could straight up be dating fucking Slim Shady again. You're like, what? It's like, we don't know. Like, so much can happen in 2 weeks. I could get engaged. You don't even know. I'm probably fucking pregnant at this point. With whose baby? We don't know. Okay, I'm like lightly blacking out. We're fine. So this is where I want to take the episode. I mentioned on social media that I am, well, everyone fucking knows I'm in therapy. Everyone's like, so Alex, that's so obvious that if you weren't in therapy, we'd be genuinely concerned and tell you need to get into it. Don't worry, I've got it covered. I'm taking care of it. I am in therapy. So every week I talk to my therapist about my life, about the show, about the daddy gang. Does the daddy gang like Alex this week? Does the daddy gang fucking hate Alex this week? The mood is contingent upon the daddy gang and the DMs that I receive. That is the most unhealthy thing. My therapist would be like, Alex, we've worked on it. You do not measure your self-worth based off of DMs. And I'm like, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Did they like the episode? No. Okay, I am nothing. So yeah, you guys can tell, a lot to work on. Anyways, so I'm sitting in Zoom therapy with my therapist as I'm coming off of my amazing vacation. And I have to admit, like when I got back to New York from going to the Hamptons, going to LA, I felt somewhat depressed. Like, you know, when you have, like, especially in Corona right now, I haven't been seeing people. And then finally I'm with people, social distancing, masks on, please don't come for me. But I'm doing my best to like somewhat have some social interaction. And then I get back to New York and I walk into my apartment and I'm by myself. I live alone, which I do love. But after being with people for a second, especially in Corona, I came home and I was like, this is the darkest days. This is so depressing. So where am I in my life? Quickly, I think I need to do... I'm gonna get like two seconds a little deep here. I feel like I've been cracking jokes this entire time. Basically right now in my life, I think Corona for me personally has been a time of a lot of self-realization and alone time. And as much as I'm depressed sometimes when I'm in my apartment, it's been forcing me to focus on what do I want in my life? Who do I want to surround myself with? And I've had a lot of time to think about who I started as when I started the Call Her Daddy podcast over 2 years ago and who I am now. And I think there's a lot of content in my mind that I want to talk about because I think for the first time in my life, and it's the craziest thing for me to say out loud, but I'm dating multiple people that I have genuine relationships with and they're fucking semi-healthy, which is bizarre. I know, Alex Cooper, what? So I think that's what I want to talk about that. I want to let you guys know that like, whoa, and having multiple people doesn't mean I'm being unhealthy. I'm being honest that I'm dating multiple people to these men. But I think that who I am now compared to where I started the show, like my dating style has changed and I haven't been able to fully roll that out for you guys and articulate that because I think sometimes I'm scared to be healthy on this show because I know I'm like so stuck in the ways of the old show and like what it was. And I think finally I'm like, okay, hold on. That's literally not what I'm doing anymore. It will always be a part of me, but I do think it's also kind of like, okay, what else? And trust me, there's a lot of what else, but I haven't really gone there with the show. And here we go. I'm excited. So I think next week I'm going to kind of outline for you guys like what the fuck has been going on in my life. And I hope you guys can understand like why I've been a little bit hesitant, but I hope you guys can also be supportive and come along on this journey with me because I think we literally started as babies where we're like, cheat on him, cheat on her, and we'll always play games. But it's like, we can also level up and be like, all right, I think the best test is, can you even be fucking healthy? Because if you can be unhealthy and you know how to be healthy, then you win at both. So that's the new journey. And I want you guys to come along with me. Don't freak out. It's going to be fine. Roman, hello. To all the men listening, stop only pounding the pussy for 30 seconds. You're a fucking quitter. You're a splooger and you're a quitter. Roman swipes are clinically proven to help you last longer in bed. They're effective, easy to use, and fast acting, and you do not need a fucking prescription, okay? You swipe it on your dick. Big, small, crooked, whatever the fuck you're working with, you swipe it on your dick. It's indiscreet, unmarked packaging, so if it falls out of your pocket, no one's gonna fucking know what it is. And then once you swipe it on, you're going to pound her pussy 10 times longer or pound his asshole 10 times longer or pound her asshole 10 times longer. It's great. So guys, if you want to last longer in the bedroom, which I literally do not understand why you wouldn't, Also, girls, you can get this for your boyfriend and be like, hey, babe, stack them up. Let's fucking go, Bruno. I'm not feeling too fucking hot. That was 30 seconds. 30 seconds too fucking short. Let's go for 2 hours, bitch. Guys, you're going to go to GetRoman.com/daddy and you're going to get your first month of swipes for just $5 when you choose a monthly plan. Again, that is GetRoman.com/daddy. Daddy gang. Hello. Okay. I'm really excited because in the spirit of feeling like I want to be as inclusive on this show as possible. We need to have people of color. We need to have people of different sexualities. I hear you, and I want that as well. So this is kind of exciting because I am very self-aware in the fact that I would never speak on experiences that, like, I've never experienced. Why the fuck would I do that, you dumb bitch? And today we have someone on the show that is bisexual, very open about her journey towards coming out and being open about sexuality and depression, etc. And it's just a fucking awesome interview, and I'm really excited to have this person on. Yes, she is a musician, and yes, she is extremely successful, but that is not why I'm having her on. I have so much respect for her in that aspect, but the truth is I think her story hopefully is going to be so relatable to so many of you that I personally could never bring to the Caller Daddy podcast. I will never pretend to know what it's like to come out to someone's family and to come out and go through those struggles. So I'm so fucking excited. Get your panties bunched up because you're gonna fucking cream them soon. What? Guys, I'm so excited. Here we fucking go. Introducing Maggie Lindman. Did I say your name?
Yeah,
right?
You did. Yes! You did. No, everyone gets my last name wrong.
Oh my God, so I got it right.
Yeah, you did.
How are you?
I'm good.
You're good. I saw your snap today. You were feeling anxiety and I was like, oh fuck. Like, is it because of my show? No.
Oh no.
No, bigger issues.
No,
in life.
I've literally been having anxiety for like dead ass the past, I don't even know, like a week straight.
It's but I also insane. Feel like Corona, it's like, okay, what do we expect? I feel like everyone's in the weirdest position in their life. Like everyone is feeling uncomfortable. Everyone's just sad, emotional. I'm like crying. I'm like, I don't cry. Like, what is this? What's a tear? And
yeah,
so
literally.
I understand. So I think a lot of it's going to be interesting to see like how many people from your world know who I am and my world know who you are.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited for this collab because, guys, Maggie is a singer. Yes. And your music is so first I was gonna be like, guys, her music is really depressing, it's amazing. and no, and I know this sounds weird, but like your music is the kind of music that I listen to, like, you know, when you're sad and then you're like, I want to literally pour so much salt in this fucking wound and I want to be more sad. And that is like, some of your music is really sad, but I love it. And I want to talk about it because I'm like, are you a sad person? Is that like fucked up to just be like, hi Maggie, are you really sad?
Am I really sad? Isn't an act? No, I really am sad.
fuck.
No, I
no,
am.
This is good.
Well, like, okay. I mean, yeah. I feel like, okay, I'm a Cancer, so I'm just like the most dramatic person ever. Okay, me talking about like my zodiac sign defines me.
Wait, no, because I'm but a Leo and like I'm the complete opposite. I'm like a psycho. And, like, I just like don't have feelings.
Yeah.
This is good.
No, yeah. I just feel like I'm such an emotional person and I don't know. Like everything makes me sad, honestly.
No, wait. I actually kind of love that because I was thinking like, Daddy Gang, the reason I wanted to have Maggie on is like, I have so much respect for how open you are with your fans. For so long, I have had so many listeners wanting me to talk about the LGBTQ community and talk about, oh my gosh, why don't you talk about lesbian love and gay love? And I'm like, listen, I fully support. What I don't want to do is ever speak about something that I don't have personal experience about, because I just think it's fucked up when people are like, guys, I have like the advice for you, and it's like, no bitch, you literally, you, that's not your life. So I want to kind of like go through you and your sexually liberated life. I feel like you've been very open about your sexuality from what I've read. Tell us a little bit about your like sexual journey.
Okay, well, being from Texas, like, if you're from anywhere that's not, like, I don't know, New York,
dude,
Florida,
Texas, right.
California, you're from, like, Texas.
You saying Texas, like I'm like, oh my God, are you, were you shunned? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, Texas is scary. But I don't know, it's just, like, a very conservative state.
Right.
And so my whole life, I mean, my parents, I'm lucky to have the parents I have because they're very accepting.
Okay.
But, yeah, I knew from a pretty young age. I mean, But I never really understood the concept of like bisexuality. Like I knew there was gay and I knew there was straight, but I never really knew about that like in between. And actually the first time I felt like a real connection with a girl was someone that was very androgynous. Oh, so okay. I thought like that was like my excuse was like, oh, she's like androgynous. Right. So it's not really like.
Like it's like kind of like still like a guy, but yeah, like whatever. Like,
she still kind of looks like a guy. So like right, it doesn't so it count. Makes sense. Yeah. Right. But eventually I was just like, oh yeah, like no.
You're bisexual. Yeah. Yes. First of all, I like commend you so much for just being honest and open. And like that must have been, I can imagine as much as I'm sitting here like, yay, go Maggie. Like I'm assuming there were really hard fucking times in your life, because as shitty as it is, like as much as we have tried to normalize like be whatever the fuck you want to be and own it and love it, there's it's still looked at by some people in the world. It's like, what do you mean you're not straight? Like what the fuck? And that I can't even get into that conversation because it makes me so mad. But I think my audience would love to hear like your journey of coming out, and like how did you first come out, and how did you tell your family, and like how did you decide to come out kind of?
Yeah, so I think I just turned 18. I'm pretty sure I was like newly 18. Okay. And I'd done this shoot with Galore. And there was like this pillow that said something about like sexuality and not being straight.
Yeah.
And I literally saw that and it just felt like such a sign. And I was like, I was just like, okay, I have to do this. So I went home and I just was like sobbing. And I actually texted my parents in a group chat and I was just like, this is how it is. And I'm fortunate because I wasn't even living with my parents anymore, and and you know, I pay my own bills and all that. Okay. So I'm like fortunate that I had that, like, you know, I'm not still under their roof.
Right.
But they were very supportive of it. They were kind of just like, yeah, like we figured a little bit, you know. Yeah. And then when I told my friends, the same thing, like I just texted them and I was like, I don't know if you guys know, but I'm about to like do this live stream and tell everyone, and I want you guys to know first. And literally all my friends were like, girl, like,
girl, we know. We knew. We do, bitch, and we fucking love you still.
Yeah, we knew. And I was like, wow, wait, what?
So wait, how the fuck did you decide to come out to your parents via text? Like, were you like, should I call them? Should I text them? Like, I feel like that's like kind of a hard moment to be like, what the fuck do I do?
I'm just so bad with confrontation. I hate confrontation.
That makes sense.
So if I'm going to confront someone, text. Or it's not like, well, like if I'm going to like bitch someone out, I'm like good at that in person. But when it's something that I'm like,
yes, like holding close to you, you're like, I'm going to slide this in a text. Yeah. Maybe they'll miss the text.
Yeah. Maybe they won't just, see it. You know, won't see it. But I don't know. I just felt like that was the best.
Did you think that your parents had any idea? Like, did you think you were about to shock their world or no?
Yeah.
Really? And then were you shocked when they were like, we kind of knew?
Yeah, they were. Yeah. Okay, well, because growing up, my parents were always like, oh my God, you're so boy crazy. And I was like,
you're like, girl crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, wait, mom.
Yeah.
There's so many things happening right now because you just casually are like, and then like I was going to go live and like do it on a live stream.
Yeah.
So, like, we need to get into that. What the fuck? Like, how did that go down?
I don't know. I'm really impulsive. And I think that was definitely an impulse thing, because also when I look at that live, it's so embarrassing because I'm like crying and I'm like, I like girls. And it's so, it's just so cringe.
But it's also like, you've got to respect it, because like that's where you were in your like that moment of life. Like when I look back at myself when I'm like 18 to 20, I'm like, so what was I doing? Like, Alex, what are you doing?
Like, what?
So I get you must be like, oh my God, why the fuck did I do that? But how what was the response?
The response was pretty good, but I think because I was like so emotional, a lot of people didn't think it was real. Like a lot of people were like, oh, she's just like mocking people, or like
shut the fuck
just
up.
Didn't think I was being genuine,
right? But like, it was like publicity.
Just, yeah, but it's literally just because I'm an emotional person, and
you couldn't help it.
Under pressure, I just always am like,
I'm gonna cry.
I'm gonna cry.
You're like, worst comes to worst, to start crying.
Yeah.
So the fact that you made the decision to like come out on a live, like, I respect you for that, but also fucking terrifying. Yeah. And like, there's obviously, I'm sure you've thought about different ways you could have come out, but like, once you came out, obviously expecting maybe you experienced some type of hate once you came out.
Yeah. Well, again, I think I'm really fortunate because I do live in California.
Yeah.
And things are just way more accepted here.
Yeah.
But I also think because I'm like girly girl, and I'm like attracted to like girly girls.
Right, so right.
I think there's like, it's less of like, a hate thing and more of like, I feel like it's very fetishized.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's, that kind of makes me feel uncomfortable.
Okay.
Because like, I remember when I came out, my ex-boyfriend literally was like, oh, so does this mean we can have a threesome? And I was like, bro, like, first of all, no.
You're like, first of all, you're my ex. So
you're my
ex.
Like, don't
so,
text me.
So like, literally get out of my face. And like, you're never having sex with me again. Second of all, fuck off. Third of all, fuck off. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
So I know, that is such a good point. I've never even thought about it like that. Like, guys fetishizing lesbians and being like, oh my God, it's so hot. Like, let's see you make out. I can imagine that being frustrating for you, like you're saying, because you're going for women that are, like, you're a girly girl and you're going for girly girls. Yeah. And maybe it's not your stereotypical lesbian couple. Yeah. So people are like, this is so hot, Maggie, make out. And you're like,
yeah.
So, like, how do you get the confidence to own your sexuality and not be so in your head that people are judging you because you're bisexual? And can you kind of, like, walk me through, like, how do you mentally just, like, be okay with, like, oh, yeah, I am bisexual and it's amazing and I love it and I'm not going to let anyone make me feel a certain way just because of, like, what society says we should or should not do?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like for me, I've definitely owned it, but it does make it hard sometimes, like, in relationships with boys or girls. Like, I think sometimes being in a relationship for a long time, you feel like you're missing something. Oh, of like,
okay.
Like, I see a lot of people talking about this, how they'll like be in a relationship with a guy and they'll be just like wanting a girlfriend. That's, but it's just because when you're attracted to both, it's like they both bring different things to the table, you know?
How does that, has that affected your boyfriends in the past? Like, are they insecure about it?
Yeah. my ex was definitely insecure about it. Like, just like, well, my boyfriend now is amazing. He's so understanding and he's just literally the best. But there's been times, yeah, where I think it does make guys like a little insecure because it's like, oh, is that just like your girlfriend or is that like a girl that you're trying to like talk to? And with girls, it's especially hard to tell because like, if you're flirting with a guy, like,
you get it.
But if you're flirting with a girl, like, girls are just like that, even if you're straight.
Like, when you see a girl in the bathroom, like, it's like, are we in love or, like, are you my best friend or what? Yeah. So you get, like, girls are just like
it's
that.
It's just different.
That's extremely challenging, I can imagine. I think anyone that's listening to this podcast right now that is, like, struggling with their sexuality, struggling to, like, come out, struggling to be like, oh, my God, are my parents going to literally disown me? Like, do you have any advice for them that, like, you've now – I know it's, like, only 4 years, but still that wisdom that you've, like, kind of gotten over the years?
Yeah, I think it's just don't feel pressured to do anything. If you feel like – because I feel like a lot of the times people are like, oh, you just need to come out, and if your parents don't accept you, then, like, fuck it.
Right.
But if you really feel like – there's going to be a bad outcome and you're not ready for that, I really think, you know, you should like consider that and just do what you need to do to get by in the moment.
Yeah.
But I also think that it's really important to own yourself and like be yourself and be authentic. So I just think you need to take the time you need and just really think about it. Cause it is like, you know, it is a big deal to some people. I don't know. I just wouldn't rush things. I think that's one thing that I just wish I knew when I was younger, that it's not something that I needed to label myself with. And I didn't need to, if it's something that I wanted to keep personal, like I could keep personal, you know,
I didn't need to explain.
Yeah. You don't need to explain yourself to anyone, including your parents. Honestly, I think if I didn't have a platform, I probably wouldn't have ever came out to my family.
That's interesting.
I mean, eventually they would have like found out, but I don't think it would have been something that was so dramatic. I genuinely think the main reason I wanted to come out so bad was just because I was in LA and I just wanted people to know, honestly. Yeah. I didn't want to keep having these like straight relationships and then like girls would just not want to talk to me because they thought I was straight. That's literally like the main reason.
Wait, that is so fucking interesting. Can I ask you, like, so yeah, you kind of have to put out feelers like, wait guys, I'm down to hook up with girls.
Yeah,
like I don't just like dick, like I would love to hook up with you.
Yeah.
And like, how do you let a girl know? Because now that I'm thinking about it's like, so how the fuck would they know?
It's so weird. I don't know, I feel like it's like so weird because there are, like I said, like so many straight girls will still like hook up with you.
Right.
And then they'll be like, ah, sorry, I'm straight. Like,
oh my, is that so annoying?
And it's so frustrating because it's like, if you are straight, like, I think that's something that you should definitely tell someone.
Yeah.
Like early on.
I'm assuming, have you been in situations where you've hooked up with a girl and then she's like, no, that's, I was drunk and like, we're just, I'm like straight. I was just doing it for fun.
Yeah. It's happened. Drunk and not drunk.
Okay.
So like, Yeah, so
sorry,
just,
I'm getting like, no, personal.
It's okay.
But I think
it's
people
okay.
Love this.
I'm pulling from this one situation specifically. Okay. We were just like friends for a while.
Okay.
And then she just started making a lot of like comments.
Okay.
Just like insinuating it. And one night we went out to this club and we just like both got drunk and then we just like hooked up and then it was fine. And then it just like, we just like kept hanging out and right. then we would just like hook up drunk or not drunk.
Right.
So eventually like I was like, oh cool. Like she's cute. You know,
right.
I was like okay,
here we
like
go.
Maybe
this
I'll,
is fun.
Yeah. Like maybe I'll just try it a little more. Right. And then it was like, oh no, she's straight. I'm like, oh no, I'm straight. Like I just.
You're like, oh, yeah. You did. You just black out like the past. Couple
I know.
Nights
I'm
that we
like,
hooked up. Like what? And we how did
like, wait,
how
what?
Did she bring that up? Like, was she like defensive? Like, what happens in
no,
those moments?
It wasn't. It was just like, oh no, definitely straight, 100% straight.
Then you're like, so what are you doing?
I'm like, oh, okay, it didn't seem like it, but
okay.
But like, what can you do? You know,
no,
you can't,
yeah, that,
can't do
I mean,
anything. That's why it sucks though, because you're just like, it's not like it's just a person that is
right
like, does like girls, and then they're just like, oh, sorry, I don't like you.
Right.
It's like, no, I just don't like. I'm just not attracted right. to you like that.
And it's like, so fucked because the amount of like how glamorized I think it is. Like I remember in high school when all the girls are like, let's make out, and the
yeah.
guys are gonna think it's so fucking hot.
Yeah.
And then here you are saying like, you know, like you're hooking up with a girl, and then she's like, no, I'm just. And then it's like, no, why the fuck are you hooking up with me?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
I don't know. It's just like getting rejected. Like
yeah.
getting rejected by anyone. Like
yeah.
getting put in a friend zone. It's just like, oh shit, that kind of hurts. But like.
Right. When you hooked up with your first girl, like, were you more experienced or was she more experienced?
She was.
A lot of the girls are you hooking up with, like, are they bi or are they just lesbian?
At first it was just lesbian.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, but there's this weird stigma around like bi girls in like
oh, okay.
the lesbian community for some reason.
Wait, what is that?
It's like this bi phobia. It's so weird, but a lot of lesbians will not like talk like date or talk to bi girls because you also like guys.
And they're like, penises are disgusting.
Yeah,
the fuck out of our face. How dare you
yeah.
even look at them? Wow.
But like the lesbians I know are great. They don't think like
yes.
that, but I have ran into like
people that are like,
people
oh,
that
bi.
Are like that, and they give you yeah, they're like, oh, you're bi, and I'm like, yeah, and they're like, oh, like ugh.
Oh
but obviously,
God.
That's not the whole community. I don't
right,
want
right,
like,
right.
bash the whole
no,
community.
No, of course not.
But there are a lot. It's just like this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Calling all fucking khaki addicts. You disgust me, guys. You already know. Stitch Fix. Everyone look down at your pants. Do you see khakis? Stop it. You do? Okay, disgusting. Women and men all around the world, listen up. So you get paired up with this online personal styling service and they deliver your favorite clothing, shoes, and accessories directly to you, okay? They have brands you know and love. Once you go on, you'll be like, oh, yep, yep, yep. You complete your style profile and then an expert personal stylist is gonna send you hand-picked box items based on your style and preferences. There's no subscription required. You can pick between automatic shipments or only getting new pieces on demand. Shipping, exchanges, and returns are free, plus the $20 styling fee is automatically applied towards anything you keep in your box. So you get a bunch of shit. You're like, I love all this. Keeping it. Or, I want to send some back. Gonna send some back. Give me new stuff, Brenda. And then Brenda sends you a bunch new. And then finally, once you keep everything in there, you're Gucci. We all need to be fucking prepared. The minute Corona ends, we're gonna want to fucking go out, flash our tits everywhere. But not in khakis. So guys, if you're interested, you're going to go today to stitchfix.com/daddy and you're going to get an extra 25% off when you keep everything in your box. Okay. That's stitchfix.com/daddy. I love talking about real shit like depression and anxiety because everyone listening to this show, you've been fucking sad in your life, went through some type of moment where you were feeling anxious or had anxiety. And you, Maggie, your music is really fucking depressing sometimes. And what, like, can you kind of, I don't mean to get too dark, but like, how, what is your life story a little bit? Like, where did this dark depression sadness come from? Like, did you get bullied when you were younger? Like, what's
yeah.
that?
No, yeah, I got bullied. Well, I also got on Instagram really early. So
oh.
I was on like Instagram and Tumblr when I was like, in 2011, I think I got on, literally. So a
oh.
long ass time.
Oh, so you were an early bird up in that bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. And okay, looking back on it, like, I was definitely super cringy.
Okay, but it's fine.
But,
oh, were we all back then?
Yeah, but I'm like a kid. I'm
yeah.
like in middle school at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, What did you expect?
I feel like, weren't you kind of like, you almost got famous because I feel like you had like Tumblr.
I was on Tumblr. And
that says
I just,
it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was emotions.
On yeah. And like, if you were on Tumblr in 2011, just by the way, yeah. like the worst place.
Oh my
ever.
God. Wait, like, yeah. What terrible. What tell us?
It was just, I mean, that's when they had like Thinspos. Okay. But actually, oh. I'm seeing it a lot now on like TikTok. It's like the same. It's like reliving. It's
TikTok
terrible.
Is the most unhealthy platform.
It's terrible.
It's like you see how they censor, like everyone looks a specific way. Like I mm-hmm. read an article where they like filter out people that are overweight. And yeah. then also the backgrounds, if it doesn't look like you're in a rich location, they filter it
really?
Out. Yeah. And I was like, wow. this makes so much fucking sense. When you go on TikTok, all you see is yeah. white bitches in really big mansions.
Yeah, literally.
And I'm like, what the fuck? And it's mentally that fucks you. And yeah. I'm like, I don't understand why
it,
people
it literally reminds me of Tumblr because back then, I mean, yeah, it was like all white people, like thin lips, blue eyes, blonde hair, like that was like the
I
girl
remember, like the skinny
that was
skinny,
like yeah
like,
yeah
oh
and like
God.
Piercing blue eyes
yes.
and, like, that was like the thing. And there was and it was all about like Thinspos and there was like self-harm pages and
oh,
there was
like
cutting
and
literally
stuff, yeah.
I remember this is so dark, but I had this like separate page where I would literally post like my progress of like my body and like my arms, like my wrists when I would cut myself, and people would literally be like, oh my God, good job. You're almost at your goal weight. Like get skinnier. You're almost there. Like your cuts are looking amazing. Like it was so toxic. And I'd be like, oh, I just like want to kill myself today. And they'd be like, oh, you should try this, this, and this. And this
Shut
is like
the, fuck
the
up.
Easiest way to just go.
Dude, the internet.
It's like, it's like I'm like 12.
Yeah. Like, wait, what's going? Did your parents know you had these social media?
No.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
So you were posting all this shit. Cause I think that is so crazy that you're bringing me back to the Tumblr days, because I remember like seeing girls cutting themselves and it was like romanticized of
yeah.
like glamorized, like, oh my God, like I'm cutting myself and I'm skinny. And
yeah.
how the like that's dark shit.
Dark. Super dark.
Can I ask you how long you would cut for? Like how like for from your life if you were that young? Like
I did I think I was like 13, 14, and then a little bit when I was 15.
I commend you so much for just like saying that, because I respect you so much. Like, I feel like it's really hard for people, obviously, to talk about that. I'm assuming
yeah.
you were going through a lot of shit.
Yeah. I have a tattoo on my knee. It says 2013 sucked, because it was the worst year of my life.
Oh, my that's God. Like, wait, that's, like, kind of a dope tattoo.
Thank you. That was, like, the year I, like, went to, like, a mental institution
okay.
and got, like, locked up. And that was, like, my hardest year. That was my ninth grade year. So.
Fuck, dude. That
yeah.
is, that age, that is the most, like, isolating scary times, because I don't know about you, but like I remember not telling my parents about stuff at that
yeah.
age, and you try to hide things from them
yeah.
and you're an adolescent, you're going through puberty, like there's just so many different things that you're trying in your life, and it's like you just feel very alone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you got help, and then like how the fuck did you become where you are? Like your story is amazing. So like
you
went through your dark times, like depression, anxiety, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And like where how did you kind of like transition upwards?
So I was actually like on Instagram at that time, and I just took a really long break, and everyone was just like, oh my God, like did this girl like die or something?
Yeah, like what?
Like what happened, right? And Fuck. Then I was just gone, and like because I had my phone taken away from me for like ever.
Dude, that sometimes is what you need though.
Yeah,
like,
I didn't have it for like 5 months.
If you were on those social media channels and you had all those people, like it's so fucked up when you're communicating at that age with people around the world that you don't even fucking know, and like you being like
yeah.
oh my God, your cuts look amazing today, bitch. It's like you get
yeah.
warped into it, and it's hard to stop. And it's like that's where like that is where the parental control like actually is like necessary, because it's
yeah.
like when would it have stopped, and like
yeah.
at what cost?
It's so triggering. It's insane.
It's so fucking triggering. So then you kind of like went off social media for a bit.
Yeah, so I literally didn't have a phone for like 5 months, and because obviously like in this place they also you don't have a phone, you don't have internet, you don't have anything,
right?
So then after that my dad actually had moved to San Antonio like
okay
a year before this, and so he was living there just like working, and then he would like come back and forth to like my house.
Okay.
And then when that all happened, my mom was like, I literally cannot do this on my own, like we're moving to San Antonio, and
oh.
like we need to like be with your dad, because this is like too much for me.
A lot. Yeah.
And so like right after I got out, we went straight to my new house. Like I didn't even go.
I feel like that's good though, right? Because it's almost yeah. like to go back to a place with such dark memories. Mm-hmm. It's like you need to get the fuck out of there.
I'm lucky that I was able to have that
yeah.
chance.
Yeah.
And it was cool because like everyone hated me at my old school, you know? So
dude, why? So, like, why do you think that was?
They like, just like hated me because of my Instagram. They always made fun of me. Okay. And they just like, I don't know. They just picked on me for everything.
That is the fucking worst when like, I think that's also a lot of people's insecurity. I think a lot of people I see even on TikTok nowadays, it's like there are girls that are like, everyone makes fun of me. For my TikTok at my school, but then they're yeah, like then slowly like, getting famous on TikTok.
Yeah.
And you go through this weird battle of wanting to post on the internet and wanting to have a life and feeling inspired and wanting to like do something. And then yet people are so fucking mean in school.
Yeah.
And like, it's this awful feeling where you're like, I just want to fucking leave. Like I want to live online and I don't want to be with the people in like, and it's just a fucked up scenario. So you got to leave. That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, most people I've met out here literally were like bullied. It's crazy. Like that is singers, social media, like anyone who's like anyone out in LA. Yeah. Is like, yeah, I was bullied.
Dude, that's like where it's that's actually so fucked up. It's like a bunch of just people that like literally escaped and like came here. And
literally
like, it's a bunch of people that are way accepting of each other because wherever they started, it was just like a fucking shit show and you couldn't feel accepted where you were.
Yeah.
So you move. And at this point, are you even singing?
No.
Oh my God.
I was like singing online, but like,
okay.
At this point, I'm not doing shit. Like, okay. I was just like mentally
just
ill.
Trying to make it.
Yeah, I'm just trying to like live.
Live.
So I moved and then I went to school in San Antonio for like a year.
And how old were you then?
I was 15.
Okay.
And then I moved to LA when I was 16.
How did you get like famous for singing? Like, what was the one big thing that people were like, oh?
There was this video of me like joking around singing the national anthem.
Shut the fuck up.
And I'm like literally joking, but there's like a few notes that I was like singing for real
that were like insane and that I actually hit. Knows how to sing.
Yeah. And my manager saw that and he was like, let's go. Yeah, can you come to the studio? I want to like meet you and I want to see if you can like really sing. And then from there I just moved to LA and I was like, yeah, any chance I had to get the fuck out,
I was like, you're like, bye, leaving, here we go. Wait, that's amazing. So you moved to LA when you're 16. Mm-hmm. And like what happens there? Do you think that you got healthier? Like were your parents nervous for you to leave and be on your own?
Oh yeah, they were nervous. Like I said, like my parents are really supportive and I'm really lucky because they were like, go do your thing.
That's amazing.
But yeah, living in LA honestly has been really helpful, I think. Wow. To me personally,
that's actually an amazing statement because I do feel like there are so many people that are like, LA is so fucked and it's ruined me and like I'm dying out here and like I'll never find a real relationship.
Yeah, no.
But that's kind of like a refreshing thing, like it helped you. And I feel like I could so see that because of what you're saying about all of the things in your life. You're like, you never felt accepted where you were. You had this thing about your sexuality and then you're meeting people out here that are so liberated and owning what the fuck they are.
Yeah.
So it must have been such a place for you where you're like, wow, I actually feel like I for the first time may belong somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's an amazing feeling if you had never felt that prior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you start singing. When did you pop off? I know one of your songs, is it
Pretty Girl?
Yes. And do you write a lot of your songs?
So earlier on, I wasn't writing as much.
Okay.
Like I would like, it was more of like my journals and we would like talk about stuff that was like more like in my diary.
Okay.
But I write now, like I'm like fully writing all of my stuff. But I was just like really young also.
Yeah.
I was like 16 when my first song came out.
Oh my God.
And so that's like,
that is
pretty
young.
And I don't know. It was just like a weird situation. But for Pretty Girl, that was like actually came out of like a tweet and like my journal. That's like
Shut
how that song came
up.
About.
And is that one of your biggest songs?
Right? It is
your
biggest
song.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
So literally from a tweet and then that like blew the fuck up.
Yeah.
I like can't get over your journey. I think it's like the most amazing thing that like you being so open and vulnerable. First of all, I just want to thank you, and I know that the Daddy Gang will be so happy to have someone that was that open with them, because like you speaking about where you were when you were younger and in high school to now, I mean, I think on so many different levels literally people can be like, oh, I could be like her. Like, mm-hmm. She was at her fucking lowest. Like, she was not okay. And then she is where she is today, and she's doing a fucking collab with Travis Barker, and she's making music, and she's doing like that. Yeah. To me, it's like, I don't care if people are like, Alex, why did you have a singer on your show? It's like, that it's not about the fact that she, you could be anyone. It's like, yeah, it, your story is why I think I wanted to have you on the show. It's like you being so open about your sexuality and so driven and doing so many amazing things, and you're 22. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I'm it's an amazing story. I'm so happy you came on. Tag yourself on Instagram.
It's just at Maggie Lindemann.
Maggie, thank you so fucking much for coming on, being so vulnerable. I hope this inspires someone listening. Even if just one person took something from this, that means so much to me, and I know it means something to you. So guys, thank you. Give Maggie some love. Slide into her DMs. Make her feel comfortable when this comes out, because you guys know you're fucking terrifying. Okay, Daddy Gang. I'm back. I'm solo. Maggie currently has a new song out. It's called Knife Under My Pillow, and it's really fucking good, so go check it out. And then she has another new song coming out on Friday, so go support her. I hope you guys enjoyed having Maggie on. I think it's really important to have different perspectives on, and I also think it's cool to just have people that are different than me on. I know, obviously, I'm a fucking psycho, outgoing, very like energetic extrovert, and I think that I know I have a lot of different people listening to this podcast, and I think it was really cool to have Maggie, who is more introverted and has lived a different life than me, to come on. So go show her some love in her DMs. I know that it seems easy, but coming on this podcast and being that open and telling your life story is not fucking something that just comes easily. It's trust me, it's stressful as fuck. So thank you again, Maggie, so much for coming on and sharing your story. Do you own a vibrator? Do you have lube on your nightstand? And do you own a butt plug?
No, Alex, I don't.
Okay, well, we're gonna fucking change that today. Adam and Eve.
Alex, what's that?
Adam and Eve is the best fucking place to get your sex toys, your vibrators, your lube, your lingerie, every fucking thing you need when you think of sex. Adam and fucking Eve, bitches. It's free shipping. It's delivered discreetly to your door, so your mom and dad aren't like, Bethany, who's this little teddy for? And you're like, Mom, what? Okay, Adam and Eve, you guys are going to use code HERDADDY. That is HERDADDY at checkout. There's thousands of products, and you are going to get almost any one item for 50% off. So 50% off, free shipping, and delivers discreetly, okay? There's literally no brainer. If you don't fucking own lube and a vibrator and a fucking butt plug, we're not friends. We're not hanging, okay? I strongly urge you guys, go to adamandeve.com, use offer code HERDADDY, and hook yourself up. You're fucking welcome. Okay, fuck. Are you guys depressed? It's sometimes you need to get a little fucking depressed. We can't always be cracking fucking cum squirting jokes. However, we're gonna ramp it up a little bit now. Oh, fuck. I hope you enjoyed that interview. Chalk, Rufus, Lily, Dan, Blair, Dorota. Listen the fuck up. I have a little thing that I want to talk about. All of you are cringing. Don't care. Because I got a little thing that I want to introduce to you, and I would like to call it Quiz Jules of the Wiggles and Eagle Potter Questions of Motherfucking Like Bye-Bye. Questions of the motherfucking white baby. Okay, guys, we're fucking back. I'm sorry, it's been 2 weeks. Let her out. Let her out of the fucking cage. Let her run wild. Let her get into it. Questions of the motherfucking week, bitches. Let's fucking go. First question from a Daddy Gang member. I love this one. We're getting right into it. I have been sending nudes back and forth with this boy who has a girlfriend that has been... They have been together for over a year, and he cheats on her all the time with other girls. The girl doesn't even know anything about it yet. Last weekend, I was at this party and he was there too, and we made out very intensely, but we didn't have sex. So my question is, should I feel bad for the girl, and should I feel guilty for making out with him even though he has a girlfriend? Should I continue to go even further for him? Love you, Alex. Forever Daddy Gang. Okay. I guess my first initial reaction is always like, do whatever you want sexually, but to me, I do not see the point in you spending your time on a guy that is a liar and a cheater. You said you didn't even have sex, so you don't even know if his dick game is good. And what is the point of starting something knowing he's a piece of shit? And if you think that he's going to miraculously like change for you and leave her, he won't. And you said it yourself, he cheats on her with so many girls. So like, as fucked up as it is, I could see you if you were like, we're secretly in love and like his girlfriend doesn't know. No, you're literally like, he does this with so many bitches. So why do you want to be a part of a group of girls that some guy cheats on his girlfriend with? Like, do better for yourself. Find a guy that you can fuck that isn't fucking 10 other girls and has a girlfriend that he cheats on. I promise there are so many fucking dicks out there. Why are you wasting your time? Like, it's literally like you're being told, like, he's a piece of shit, he sucks, and you don't even know if his dick game is good. Why are you asking me this question? I love you, but, like, come on. Let's get a little better here. Girl, when I tell you I'm a shit show, and I think so many girls can relate. So let me try to summarize this as best as I can. Basically, I broke up with my recent boyfriend who ended up being a piece of shit, and my best friend was with me through it all, talking shit about him and thinking of ways to ruin his life. She even made a file on her computer called Ruin Him, filled with blackmail against him that could literally ruin his whole being. Anyways, after a couple of months, my best friend and ex started getting really close, all playing it off while like it was nothing and making me feel like I was the crazy one. After being totally disrespected and made to look like a dumbass, my best friend and I ended up getting into a fight, and long story short, she fucked my ex. I'm just wondering, how do I expose this bitch and or get revenge, because she has been known to fuck other people over who are close to her and bully girls who come near guys she's interested in. Please send me some daddy gang magic. Okay. This kind of reminds me of a situation I was in college, because I've never like had a boyfriend and then one of my friends fuck him after, but I remember when I was in college, I was so obsessed with this one guy. Like, my freshman and sophomore year, I had my eye on this guy that for some reason I just like, personality wise, was like, wait, I feel like I'm obsessed with him. Like, I really want to hook up with him. And my best friend in college literally made fun of me 24/7 for having a crush on him. Like, it was to the point where she was like, he's disgusting. Like, he's so ugly. Like she would say mean shit. Like, he looks like he has problems. Like, he's fun. And she would put me down for liking this guy. And so I always felt so weird. I'm like, why is she so vocal about like how gross he is, when I'm like, he's not. Like, he gets with a lot of girls. Like, I don't understand. So that was my freshman and sophomore year. Fast forward to my junior year of college, I found out through one of his friends that my friend ended up fucking him secretly. And like, I was living with this girl, and I found out that the guy that for my first 2 years, who I was obsessed with, she put down 24/7 and she fucked him, and she never told me. Like, this was literally my best friend in college. And I just remember, like, in the heat of the moment, you want to walk up to those bitches and be like, you are literally disgusting. Good for you to fuck, but like, don't ever, ever fucking put me down when you just spread your fucking pussy lips for what? His disgusting dirty dick that you claim was so fucking nasty. Well, guess what? I didn't fuck him, you did. So who's the fucking gross ass bitch now? But I think it's almost like, with those kind of girls, what is the point to go after them? Like, literally, it just, you seem like such a bigger person if you just never fucking speak to them again. And when they come, if they do end up coming at you or come for you, and they're like, why have you been so distant? Like, why are you being so weird? Those are the type of situations where you're like, I don't need drama and I'm not trying to be a bitch, but like, you are just not the type of girl that I fuck with, and I do not want to be around, because you're just not a trustworthy person. And that to me is like the ugliest version of a person. And then you walk the fuck away and you never talk to that bitch again. Girls who get like ghosted by other girls, like, that shit hurts more than getting called the fuck out. I mean, obviously you can like get in a fucking cat fight and go at her at a party. I've had my moments where like I verbally am fucking abusing a bitch, but it's like, that's very kind of immature, and like I've grown out of it, and I'm telling you, like, looking back on it, I'm like, you don't need to do that. The best revenge is honestly, like, why waste your breath? She's not worth it. If she did that shit, like, your words will mean nothing to her. She's just, like, doesn't respect you, so why even give her the time of day? My boyfriend wants me to suck his dick until I literally throw up on him. Is that supposed to be hot? I think I would literally die of embarrassment. Is that just me? Is throwing up on a guy's dick a thing I don't know about? Please let me know. I'd love to hear from the sexperts. Love you, Alex. Okay, here's the thing. First of all, if he is the one telling you he wants you to throw up on his dick, if he is the one that's saying he literally wants you to vomit, first of all, then you fucking can do it. Like, when a guy is into nasty shit, there's nothing wrong you can do. And if he's verbally telling you he wants you to choke on his dick till you throw up, you can absolutely go for it, choke on his dick and throw up. The point of it being hot for a guy, I think, is that it means that you are literally taking his dick so far to the back of your throat that you can literally not breathe, and it's hitting your fucking larynx, and you are vomiting on his fucking cock because it's so far down your fucking throat. So to a guy that's like nasty and into it, yeah, he's like, fuck, bitch, like, take all of me. I think it's kind of hot. Hey, Alex, the daddy of all daddies, obviously I'm a dude, okay, and I really want to buy a vibrator for my girl slash hookup slash girlfriend. Wait, you have a girl and your hookups and your girlfriend? Or does he mean just like anyone that he's in the, okay, I don't know. Will a girl full blown send it for the O even though it's not her vibrator? Or will she be skeptical about where the vibrator has been? Oh, this is such an interesting question, because I know, like, I know that there are men that love to have sex toys in their room and they bring them out for bitches. But I also know, as a chick, if a guy just on our first hookup full blown whipped out a vibrator, I'd be like, so that's your ex-girlfriend's, or that's your current girlfriend that, like, you're just hiding all of her picture frames in your fucking, like, nightstands. Like, what's going on? What I would do if I were you, I would buy a vibrator. Okay. And when the first time that you hook up with her, I would pretend that you don't have it. Okay. After your first hookup, like, literally in person, I would make a comment to her after you fuck, saying something like, next time you want to get, like, weird with her, and, like, you want to surprise her next time with something, so she knows you're, like, planning something, which is kind of cool. If I was in that situation, I'd be like, oh, fuck, okay. And then the next time you guys fuck, have the vibrator and basically pretend that you bought it for her. Obviously, fucking buy it and use it on all your bitches. But on the first hookup, you don't use it. And then the second hookup, after you make the comment, then you slide it in. Boom. You guys, this girl titled her anonymous name the Snap Squirter, and she just goes, hey daddy, so I just accidentally posted a video of me squirting, talking dirty on my Snap story. The phone was slippery, you know, how do I come back from this? I fucking love this. Honestly, it's one of those things you can't come back from, but you own it. You're like, no, I was squirting on my fucking story. What were you doing on Wednesday night? Like, what are you up to, bro? I swear to God, if anything, all the guys on your fucking story are gonna be like, Kate, this bitch, I wanna fuck. And then all the girls are gonna be low-key jealous and be like, wait, how the fuck do you squirt? Literally, they're gonna be sliding in and being like, wait, bitch, how do you squirt? Honestly, though, there's nothing you can fucking do. Those are one of those moments you have to look back and be like, I'm alive, I'm breathing, I'm healthy, shit happens, you move the fuck on. I love you, I'm so sorry. That is horrifying, but shit fucking happens. Is it wrong to be in a serious relationship when you're young? I feel like this whole podcast is about being single and happy and hooking up with random guys to find out what you like, but I really love the guy that I'm dating right now and I have no desire to hook up with anyone else. Is it wrong to date and fall in love with someone when you're young? Should I end it just so I can hook up with multiple people, find out what I like, and be happy on my own? Okay, here's the thing. If you are in love at a young age and you are genuinely satisfied, you should stay in that relationship. That's great. I think where the tricky part comes, and what I urge people to do, is like, there are just too many people that get into relationships and write in saying, I feel like I should have explored more, and I feel like I really wish that I could have hooked up with more people. I lost my virginity to this person and now I'm going to spend the rest of my life with them. I just want to experience life. I know it sounds corny, but we have one fucking life. And there are some people that are down to just fuck one person. And they're like, I love you. This is it. One dick wonder. But there are also other people that are like, I need to try a couple different pussies. I need to try a couple different dicks. And that's fine. It's literally just what you're into. So I don't think you should feel bad listening to this podcast. If you're happy and you're in love, good for you. I just urge you to like, don't ever stay in something. The minute you have a weird little gut feeling like, oh, I kind of wish I was, then that's when you should get out. But no, if you're in love, fucking go for it. My boyfriend and I have been dating for over a year now, and I just feel like he's getting very comfortable and doesn't seem excited to see me and doesn't seem to know who he's really got. What should I do? I'm not going to break up with him because I love him, but I do wish he would pursue me more. How do I hint and make him realize he should be trying harder? Okay, well, this fucking sucks. I just feel like once you get into like that little like period where like it's not fun and crazy anymore, it's like the scariest part. Like dating is nothing compared to once you get into the fucking relationship stage and keeping that shit fucking fresh. It's like that is the real scary part. But if I could give you advice, I think that from relationships that I've had, I would urge you for you to do something crazy and aggressive and different, because a lot of times when you're like, he's not pursuing me, you got to think like, but have you pursued him lately? Like, have you dressed up in lingerie and like showed up for him one night? Because honestly, sometimes guys do get lazy once they're in relationships. And if you, and so do girls. So if you aren't being aggressive and you aren't pursuing him and he doesn't feel wanted, then why would he do the same for you? You know what I mean? So I would just check yourself and be like, hey, like maybe you should do a little fun, cute night for him. And then all of a sudden he's gonna be like, oh, fuck, my bitch is so hot. Like, she wants it. And then he's going to reciprocate. Okay, so funny story. Basically, I hooked up with this guy for the first time, Division I football player, and the sex was really good and kinky shit was going down. Your basic chains and whips. I don't think he could get any kinkier until after when I got home, he deadass asked me if I could suck a fruit roll-up off his dick. And so my question is, when I do this, do I eat the fruit roll-up before or after he finishes? That's a good question. I think what I would do is I would have it wrapped on his dick, and I think as you're giving him head and when you're coming off his dick at times, like when you're slurping up, I would take parts of it and unwrap it and pull it off and put it in your mouth and then go back down on his dick. And when you're coming back up, like swallow the piece that's in your mouth when you get to the top. I think that would be super hot. So you slowly, you're taking it off as you're giving him head. And then eventually, because I feel like once he comes, the fruit roll up being still on his dick, it's like, I'm in my post nut clarity. I kind of want that shit off. So if I were you, throughout the blowjob, take that shit off and eat it and be swallowing it. Also, I kind of think it would be really hot if you took a piece off. It depends how kinky he is, but he sounds kinky. I would take a piece off, rub it on your pussy, and then put it up and have him eat it in his mouth. I think that could be kind of hot. All right, Daddy Gang, that is it for this motherfucking week's episodica. I missed you all. I truly, truly, truly had fun today. I know we got a little deep and I know we had different topics, and I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. Next week, I'm going to dive a little bit more into what's going on with your girl. Go follow me on social media. It's Alexandra Cooper. Go follow my YouTube channel. I just put a vlog up. And go follow Call Her Daddy on Instagram and Twitter and all the things. I love you guys. Don't forget to keep writing questions in. If you go to barstool.com and you go to Call Her Daddy, you just write in a question and then I find you and I read you and it's anonymous. So don't worry about getting exposed. Daddy Gang, I fucking love you so much. You know the motherfucking drill. I will see you fuckers next Wednesday. Thank you.